It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 26, and we're going to begin reading with the 7th verse of that chapter as we continue the study on the tabernacle. So please open your Bibles and study along with me. I hope that you can if you're traveling or busy. Some folks listen to the program, I know, at work. Just listen, and I think you'll enjoy it. And so please listen very carefully. While you're doing that and looking this up, why, please know that this is from Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street, one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and read along with me today. Exodus chapter 26, we're going to begin reading with the 7th verse. Exodus chapter 26, verse 7. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tacks of brass, and put the tacks into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent shall half curtain that remaineth shall hang over the back side of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red, and a covering above of badger skin. Now we're going to end the reading right there with the 14th verse. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity for this program, for the outreach that it gives. Dear Father, I just ask that you will have every listener, that they'll listen carefully to the program, that they will not miss your salvation. They'll look to your word, not to some denomination or some doctrine that a certain church has. Because many times, dear Father, we know man will set doctrines of their own. They'll have opinions of their own, and it is contrary to the word of God, to your word. And so if it is contrary, I ask that through this study, through the study verse by verse that we do through your precious word, that folks will come to know you as their Savior, come to grow in you and make you their Lord, and then begin very quickly in service to you. So please, dear Lord, that happen today with every listener. Salvation will come into their heart if it has not, and service will come into their mind and heart once they're saved. So please, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we looked at these coverings of the tabernacle. I will review very quickly as each time, because if you are just if you've missed maybe a couple of studies that we've had, why, I don't want you to be lost in the as we move forwards here. We are studying the tabernacle. It is a building, a set of plans that God gave unto Moses upon Mount Sinai at the same time that he got the Ten Commandments. And we know that this building, this tent, it's not really a building, it's a tent, that it has certain furnishings in it. And this The tent itself is a fairly small building. It is the building itself, the tent itself, is 45 feet long and 15 feet wide. It's two rooms, 30 feet by 50 is one room by 15 by 15 tall, and then 15 by 15 by 15 is the second room. The first room is called the Holy Place. The second room is the Holy of Holies. And then as we come out, there is a courtyard that surrounds this building. And as we will look, the entrance is from the east. It is into the tent itself, also into the courtyard. The entrance is from the east. The courtyard is 75 feet wide and 150 foot long that surrounds it. So it's about the size of most people's lot that their home sits on in town, 150 by 75. And so that gives you some idea of the total size of the courtyard. And then again, 30 by 15 would be a very, very small home. There are mobile homes that are much larger than that today. And so that is everything that's of the building and of the courtyard. Then we have the brazen altar in the front. Brazen laver next. We're coming from the east, heading west. These both are out in the courtyard. Then we come into the holy place. We have the lampstand on the south, table of showbread on the north. We have the incense altar in the center. And then there's a veil dividing the holy place and the holy of holies. And in the second room, the 15 by 15 by 15 room, there's the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. You'll find that to be seven pieces of furniture, seven articles of furniture. And so we know through the scripture that seven is a perfect, a complete number. And we find that to be very true here. Now, we have looked a little bit at the table of showbread and the lampstand. Now we are looking at the covering that goes over this building, this 15 by 45 in size. And as we have stated before and will continue to, the very foundation of this building is all set up on silver. Silver stands for the atoning power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so don't miss that. But as we will continue to look at this, we find and know that the walls are of gold, acacia wood overlaid with gold. And we have the bases, again, are of silver. The boards are of gold, and it surrounds this little tent affair. It is designed to take down and put back up. Last time we were together, we looked at the ceiling. As we look from inside out, we're not looking from the outside in. That's the way the world looks. But a believer looks is inside, and so we have to look from that direction, and that's the way God planted in His Word. And the first is the fine linen that is seen as you enter in. Now, the brazen altars first, that stands for the cross of Calvary. The sacrifice is there. That's where would be a picture of the Lord Jesus as He died on the cross for us. Brazen lavers next is nothing but a wash basin. But the Word of God washes us and cleanses us after we're saved. All our sins are forgiven. All of our sins are forgiven, but we're still walking in this old earth and this old life. And we pick up dirt. You know, I go home and I have to take a shower. I have to clean up every day because I get dirty. Well, that's a physical kind of dirt. But I'll tell you what, in this old world, the sin is the same way. And we acquire sin. And you said, well, Larry, you said all your sins are forgiven. Yes, they are. All of my sins are forgiven. When God the Father looks down at me, the only thing He sees is the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, because I am covered in His blood, and that's what the Scripture tells us. And I am secure in that because the Lord Jesus Christ is keeping me, and the Holy Spirit came to live within my heart the day that I was saved. And so He directs me and drives me and strengthens me and helps me to understand the Word of God, because without the Holy Spirit's teaching, I cannot understand God's Word. So that's the reason that for someone to come and ask a series of questions, I don't answer those questions. I says, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And many people have a lot of responses to that question or that statement that is made, but they need to just respond to Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit's convicting their heart, they need to come and trust in the Lord Jesus. And so it's so important that that takes place. So we have the cross. That's the day I was saved and my sins were taken away. As far as it is from the east, it is from the west. We're going to talk about that today with this goat here. And now we come to a time where that we have to start the constant washing. And it's daily. It's many times a day. And as those priests would offer the sacrifices, and then they would come to the laver and wash, and they have to do that before we can come in for the fellowship. The fellowship is found at the table of showbread. We feed upon the Word of God. We wash with the Word of God. We feed upon the Word of God, and that beautiful lampstand's pure gold, and that's Jesus Christ Himself giving us the light. Oil stands for the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit has that light to shine so brightly so we can see. What a wonderful day that we have, the day we meet Jesus Christ as our Savior. Standing inside that room looking up now, we see a ceiling, and that ceiling is beautifully embroidered with blue and scarlet and purple. It is white linen to begin with, and then they use blue, scarlet, and purple to embroider it. They embroidered cherubims up on it, hovering over this area. They are guardians of our God, and they are holy, and they come to protect us, and that's what we have when we wash and then come in for the feeding, and we depend upon the light of the Lord Jesus. We talked just a little bit about what the colors stand for. The colors stand for the blue is His heaven, Christ's home. The scarlet is His death, sacrificial death. The purple, of course, is His royal character because He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And then, of course, white is the sinless righteousness, the perfection that Jesus has. And so we see those things. These cherubims, as we look at those, it's not the little angels as you see sitting on folks' nightstand or in their little cabinets there, and so many people collect angels and think it's really neat. I don't think God ever intended us for us to do that. And we find that Ezekiel tells us what the angels, these cherubims, look like. They're living creatures. They have four faces of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. The man, of course, is the human perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingship and power is with the lion. The ox is a sacrifice, animal is used for sacrifice and for service. And the eagle, of course, is the power, His sight, His omnipotence, omniscience, as he can look. You know, our God is a perfect God, and he knows all, He sees all. And these four characters are of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to have an angel there and think that's cute, that's back to worshiping the creature, not the Creator. And so God made these angels for His glory, not for ours. And so now you see what people that are born again see in the Lord Jesus. If you're lost, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you do not understand. It doesn't make any sense to you. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ. Please trust in Him today. You know, we say that you've got to come to the cross first. We're studying the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, the first gate that he repaired when he started to rebuild the city and rebuild the walls was the sheep gate. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world, the Lamb that was slain, that's the Lord Jesus. What a picture. And see, the Word of God is full of these. And it makes it so clear and so complete. And then, of course, with the tabernacle, when you walk in, what do you see? You see the altar, the brazen altar where the sacrifices are offered. You can't go beyond that point until you have offered a sacrifice, either yourself or accepted the free gift of salvation through our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please don't miss those things and enjoy them. And now as we continue to look at the coverings and we work our way up, we are looking at the goat's hair. Again, we are in the inside looking out. Now, in the scripture, we're looking here, thou shalt make the curtains of goat's hair to be a covering up on the tabernacle. And then it goes about to say the sizes and the directions and everything. And the reason that they're built in that manner, because this covering, this curtain, if it would be from, 45 feet long, and beyond, because it goes all the way to the ground, and so we're looking at 15 plus probably another 15, so it may have been 45 feet wide, and it could have been as much as 60 feet or more long. And so they built it into, made it into sections, and it has the loops, and it tells how that it's designed, and it has its purpose here. Everything in this building speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss that. We've talked about the altar, the laver, the table of showbread, the lampstand. We haven't got to the incense altar, the Ark of the Covenant yet, but we soon will. We've talked about the silver sockets, that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have this goat hair curtain. Goat in the Bible is a picture of Christ as our sin bearer. He's the one that carries our sin away. The goat is a clean animal. It's fit for sacrifice upon the altar of the burnt offering. On the Day of Atonement, there are two goats that are used. And I'm going to read this in the 16th chapter. And so if you would turn with me, it's not very far away here, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 19 through 22, and I want you to see this beautiful picture here. And again, to begin reading Leviticus 16, 19. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of the reconciling of the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness, and that goat will never return. Now, as we have started right at the place where the second goat, there is two goats. One is put to death, and one is left alive. And you see, that's what happened at the cross of Calvary. Yes, death did come, and death is certain to everyone, a spiritual death, not only a physical death, but a spiritual death, if you do not trust in Jesus Christ and his death. But also in the salvation message, in the way of redemption through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we not only have the forgiveness of sins, but we also have life. And so it takes two goats to do this, to do this picture. On the Day of Atonement, which was one day a year, first of all, the high priest, which is Aaron in this case, he would come, and Aaron would take his, there would be an offering for him. And he would take that blood, he would confess all of his sins, he would take that blood and he would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it seven times across the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant. Definitely up on the mercy seat, because you see, that's how God showed mercy to us, through and by the blood. Many people deny the blood. If you deny the blood, you're not saved. It's just that simple. You cannot have salvation if you deny the blood of Jesus Christ. Some people try to say it's the death, that's it. No. Took two goats here to give this picture, and our Lord Jesus makes it very clear back in the book of Hebrews, and we'll turn there in just a few minutes. I want to give you the picture here of what took place. First, the high priest went into this building. He came by the altar, of course, by the laver, of course, but on the Day of Atonement, then, he enters right in through the holy place into the Holy of Holies. He sprinkles it seven times to cover his sins. Then he comes back out, and there is a goat, two goats, and they decide which one. God gives them the direction, but one will die and one is allowed to live. And so the first goat, one goat, is put to death. The blood is caught, and that blood then is taken in to the Holy of Holies and sprinkled, as it said here in the 19th verse, seven times with his fingers, seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. You see, that's where we get our sins forgiven and be made clean, is by the blood. And they applied the blood every year because, you see, Jesus Christ had not come and finished his work. But when he went to the cross some 2,000 years ago and died upon that cross and rose again, the work is finished. We don't need to do this. But they did, because it was a constant coming, a reminder. This was just a covering of their sin. Jesus Christ, when he came, he took our sins away. What a wonderful picture that we have here. And so this goat, then, when Aaron finishes seven times, he comes back out into the front where all can see, and he lays his hand upon this live goat, those bloody hands, and he puts those bloody prints upon the head of that goat, and he confesses every sin that can come to the nation of Israel. He confesses unto our God. And when he is finished with that, then he takes this live goat, he doesn't, but a just man, a good man, takes this goat, and he leads him up the mount and out of sight into the wilderness, never to be seen again. Because you see, the day that you trust in Jesus as your Savior, your sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. You do not have to take communion every day or every week or every month to have your sins forgiven. Jesus Christ did that work on Calvary. You do not have to go to confession. You do not have to do those things. You need to confess to your God as you live in this world and get dirty, back to the laver, the cleaning. But your sins, as far as God's concerned, was taken away 100%. And if you believe that you have to take the Lord's Supper to get your sins forgiven, or if there's something there that you believe that it's actually the physical, the real body of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize that you're killing, you're putting to death, you're crucifying Jesus Christ every time you do that? He died once, and he makes that very, very clear. Let's go to, this is this goat, our sins are forgiven. He is a sin bearer. He is our substitute, and that's exactly what this goat was. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, back into over into the New Testament, and we find that Hebrews chapter 9. We've got several verses here. We'll try to get them in before today is finished. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Look at the wonderful work that was done upon the cross of Calvary. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ. You find if you don't study the Old Testament, you're not going to understand the New. If you didn't have any understanding of the tabernacle, how would that make any sense to you as you would study the book of Hebrews? I've had folks tell me that Hebrews is a very difficult book to study. No, it isn't. It's very, very simple, very clear. But only because of studying the Old Testament and knowing the book of Exodus and Leviticus. And so as we look at this, and this is what the Lord Jesus is talking about. And Jesus, after he died on the cross, he took his blood and he presented it to his Father in heaven upon the altar there for us. And that's where it's at. And that devil can't deny it. It's there. He knows it. And the only people that deny it is humans, is us, because I'll guarantee the devil doesn't deny the blood of Jesus Christ, and he doesn't deny the power of God. He knows it's real, and he knows it's right. 10:11 through 15, chapter 10 of Hebrews. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Remember, it covers it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, speaking of Jesus. For whenceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with thee after those days, saith the Lord. What beautiful scripture verses. And then chapter 10, verses 19 through 26. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, we're back to that room and that building. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What wonderful verses of Scripture. And we have one more here. And if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You see, to put Christ on the cross again and again and again is impossible. He died once. What a beautiful study as we look in the book of Exodus and then on to Leviticus. You know, as we look at these scripture verses here, we see the picture of this goat again. Every part of the tabernacle is such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This cup that Jesus said, I'm not able to bear, this cup is the cup of sin. He did bear it. He did carry it to the cross. And at Calvary, there's two things that take place, death and life. Because of his death, we have life. What a wonderful, beautiful pictures. Our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. There was this transference of our guilt to him, and he paid the price of death by shedding his blood. This goat is a picture of the one that is able to take our sins away, our sin bearer. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?